The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. It's the start of a new week, the dawn of a new era. Glad you can join us on a very busy Monday afternoon. I want to thank Jason Matera, who filled in on Friday so I could just rejuvenate the soul. That's what the salt water does. Went out with Tom Nelson and three other guys. Went did a little salmon fishing. Got myself a 14-pound king. So I felt good about that. My first ever Puget Sound king. So I did that on Friday. And we were kind of right in this triangle between Port Townsend and Fort Worden. And what's the other fort over there? Fort
Casey?
Fort Casey! Andrew Enzo for the win! Yeah, so but man, it was packed. There were so many boats out there for opening day, and I didn't realize the distinction that these are hatchery fish, and then there's also time when you can catch wild fish. And we saw somebody in a boat next to us. They got about a 25 pounder, but you could see the fin that marked it as a wild fish, and they had to throw it back. But fishermen. They're good people. You know, people are really careful about the crab. We also got about, I don't know, 20 crab, giant crab in the crab pots. Anyway, felt very Northwest. For a guy who grew up in Ballard within sniffing distance of the sea air at Shilshol, and all my buddies in high school went up fishing in Alaska during the summertime to make a bunch of money. And I've never caught a fish in Puget Sound, but now I have. My
besides
maiden,
never
as we say in horse racing, my maiden has been broken. What's that?
Besides never catching a fish and getting maybe shamed for that a little bit, but you also shared a story with me about getting shamed, which I think we should save for the Fast 15, but I want to tease that, tell everybody that to stick around for why Dory got shamed and... a grouchy captain starting your trip.
Okay, yeah, we'll save that for the Fast 15. I like that idea. Okay, but we have a lot of news to get to, so let's get right into... No, wait. Let's not get right into it. I faked you out, Andrew. Because there's one thing I want to play. We'll go more in-depth on this a little bit later, but I need listeners' help here. Do you remember when a few years ago... They were telling all of us that we needed to wash our hands.
We love soap so much we scrub for fun. We'll wash your hands in time. Yes, we'll wash your hands in time.
Now, that was long before COVID, but they wanted us to be known as Wash Your Handsington. And I think they've had some stupid other little jingle nicknames over the years. But last night, I'm watching a little news, and a commercial comes on. And I didn't realize that we now have a new name for our great state.
I just want to double check, because getting tested is simple. It helps protect our community, and it's saving Washington lives. Time to get back to normal by putting COVID-19 in check, because Washington is washing tested.
Washington. He says a ton. Washington. And I don't know if you're saying the whole word. Washington. Washington is now washing tested. I want to make sure that I want to help the state really make this thing go.
Because Washington is washing tested.
Oh, yeah. So that's how we're going to fight COVID here. Because, you know, the Delta variant is racing about. So, but I need a little help because I can't remember. Besides Wash Your Handsington, they had the Say Wah for a state slogan. Wondering where to go this summer? Say Wah. That was a good one. We got a bunch of geniuses in government work. Geniuses, I tell you. Marketing, creative, geniuses. Okay, we'll talk about that a little later. But if you remember any of the other failed slogans, shoot me a text, would you? 98973. That's 98973. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Meanwhile, while we have our politicians authorizing money for Washington, Meanwhile, our city continues to go down a rat hole of crime. As last night on I-5 and I-90, or yesterday, four more cars were hit by rocks and other projectiles. Four more. They are. They're going to wait until somebody is killed. And then they will express remorse and say, we've got to clean up the homeless encampments. Because they're all coming from the homeless encampments. And then maybe they'll sweep them once some child is killed, once a loved one of a lawmaker is killed. But if it's just your or my family member who's killed, they probably won't care about that. But four more rocks. And then somebody asked me, got an email this morning, Dory, do you think the reason they're not really trying to catch the debris throwers is because they've told us that homeless encampments disproportionately have people of color and that it's an equity issue, that if they start locking up the debris throwers, that it would seem inequitable. I wouldn't put it past them. If that's the game they're playing right now, Washington State Patrol was on this.
We had reports of people throwing stuff from the shoulders there before. And I think in that area, that since there is no overpass, that that's predominantly where it's coming from.
A brick was also thrown Sunday.
One of the vehicles that was struck by a brick. And I believe that brick went all the way through the windshield.
And then a woman said, yeah, I'm not going into Seattle anymore.
I've been going to the east side more. I just don't go into Seattle unless it's for a doctor's appointment.
We're doing the same thing in our family. We, I'll tell the story later. I needed to go to a sporting goods store last night. And there was one down in the Northgate area and one in Bellevue. And my wife goes, let's go to the Bellevue one. And I said, no, it's so much more, you know, distance. And she goes, yeah, that area around Northgate. And we walk in, place is a ghost town. The employees couldn't care less. I asked where something was, two items that I was looking for. And they point to the other side of the store, and I can't find them. There were two guys standing at the front door. And I asked where they were, and what, if you have a business, I mean, customer service is dead. If you have a business that's actually trying to make a go of things, one of the employees would say, oh, come with me, I'll show you right where it is, and would walk us back there and show us the options and all of that, but it's just, back there. Yeah, we're in the far corner of the store. It's just ridiculous. And we got back there, couldn't find it, had to find another employee who was back there. He was cool. He helped us. But then I said to my wife, you know what? I don't want to give him my money. I'll just buy it on Amazon. I was going to try to do local shopping for a local business. And it was like they did not want our money. So a couple of, yeah, it's like $100 between the two items, and it goes to Jeff Bezos. Dory, Jeff Bezos doesn't run Amazon. I know. Get off my back. Okay, Jenny Durkin says that she really wants to focus on a certain group.
Since this all began, several arrests have been made, but the potentially deadly crime continues to happen. Mayor Jenny Durkin has told us the city is working with WSDOT to come up with solutions for the unhoused living along the highway.
The unhoused. A couple of years ago, the elite on the left, they changed it from the homeless to the unhoused for reasons I'll never understand, because they essentially say the same thing. But they say, it'll lift their self-esteem if we say they're unhoused. Well, if their self-esteem's so good because of the one word change, why are they still throwing bricks at us on the freeway? I don't think changing language has done much, and it never does. It's just an empty bit of symbolism by people who want to show everybody else how how deep they are and how progressive they are.
We can't deny that these encampments can have safety impacts for the people who are living there, for the communities, for people who are driving on the highways. So we've got to balance all those things and make it safe for everybody. I hope they can figure this out.
Okay, yeah, we got to make it safe for the homeless too, but just sweep the camps. They're pelting innocent people with cars and rocks. So anyway, one of the guys who got hit, he caught a car, two cars behind him. He had a video cam. And so not only did his car get hit, but the car, two cars back, and he was rolling. So they have video of the guy standing right next to the freeway throwing the rock at the other car. It's Cairo 7 exclusively. Got that audio, video, and talked to the guy. Okay, you hear it. You hear the impact, and then they described how two vehicles got hit in just seconds.
From behind, just a few seconds later, it happens again. This time to the black pickup truck a little ways back, the glass exploding out of the windshield.
Yeah, somebody's going to get killed. Jamie was the driver who had the vehicle that got hit with the camera in it.
I was like, great, I'm one of those. Great, you know, I'm one of those people on the news.
He says, when are we going to end this nonsense?
It has gotten so out of control that you need a dash cam to at least prove what happened. This is not the first time we've seen the video footage of the bicycles and the scooters going off the overpasses. I mean, what is it going to take?
And as I know, as you know, all of these victims know that eventually somebody's going to be killed.
The vehicle can be fixed. It's a machine. It can be fixed. At the end of the day, though, somebody is going to get severely hurt.
Yeah, but we'll wait until then. We'll wait until somebody dies, and then our politicians will talk about their remorse and everything they've been doing to try to deal with it, but they won't clear the encampments because it's not equitable to the unhoused. It's unbelievable, man. All right, next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
And Nicole said that you played this, or Jason and Nicole played these Jenny Durkin sound bites on Friday, but I had not heard them. And so Jenny Durkin, she announced that she's going to get everybody back to downtown Seattle now. Yeah, right. Yeah, if you can get past the falling boulders. But she's going to get everybody back to downtown Seattle, and she has a name for the campaign.
To continue the momentum that we have building, being the first city in America to get to 70% vaccination rate, we're now over 80%, to really focus our work on not just building back, but building back more equitably and just. To continue this momentum, the city, together with our partners, the Downtown Seattle Association, we'll launch Welcome Back Weeks.
Yeah.
These are going to be 2 weeks of events, performances, promotions happening downtown Seattle in July and September. It's going to be fun. People, join in.
In July and September? Why aren't we doing anything in August? For crying out loud. It's just going to be July and September? What sense does that make? But she says that just like Spinal Tap, she wants to display a rebirthing.
With Welcome Back Weeks, we want to think beyond one-time events. We want to recreate and rebirth our areas in the downtown and in our neighborhoods.
Recreate and rebirth. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
All right, so Jenny Durkin's going back to the future, apparently. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
This was a shocker. Jay Inslee is blaming Biden voters for being unvaccinated. I never thought I'd hear the day. But Jay Inslee says Biden voters are the ones who are. Oh, he also thinks Trump voters are, too. But Jay's just angry these days. And I don't know why. He's got unlimited emergency power. Jay, be happy as your emergency. But he said that the people who are unvaccinated are bioreactor facilities. Sounds kind of cool. Sounds like you can be a superhero. I didn't get a vaccine. I'm a bioreactor facility. I'm going to fight crime.
Yeah, I want to follow up on what Lacey said. I think it's a really important point. You know, I've talked to folks say, well, this is an individual right. If I want to run the risk of dying on an intubator after being sick for a month, I went to a funeral the other day of a state employee who was in hospital for a month in his early 40s. If you want to run that risk, and people are saying, hey, that's my decision, I can run the risk. The problem with that is you're making a risk for everybody around you when you don't get vaccinated. You're a risk for your spouse, you're a risk for your kids, your grandkids, your parents, your coworkers.
Not if they're vaccinated. What are you talking about? You don't. Jamesley does not believe in the vaccine. It's quite clear. And then he went on a little later to say Trump voters. If you're a 50-year-old Trump voter who didn't get vaccinated, well, a lot of the unvaccinated are Biden voters too. So that's who Jay Inslee is apparently going after now. The Biden voters, and I guess some of the Trump voters who are unvaccinated. Why is it so hard for people to grasp that you can be for the vaccine, as I am, and against government mandating vaccination, as I am? I am against it. People seem to be having a real tough time grasping that that's not a contradiction between the two. It's about individual rights between versus government mandate. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, not only were four people hit by rocks in their vehicles yesterday in Seattle, seven people were shot in Portland this weekend. And both cities are experiencing rat hole effect for the exact same reasons. And that is Democratic politicians. We're going to talk to Victoria Taft, longtime Portland area talk show host. She'll tell us about what's going on in the Rose City. That's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. On I-5 and I-90, four more rocks, pieces of debris were thrown at cars driving by. Homeless people are doing the throwing. Somebody is going to get killed down in Portland. And the thing about it, I was watching the 11 o'clock news last night, and one anchor said, when is this going to stop? And I thought, that's the easiest answer ever. When we stop electing far-left Democrats and get somebody in who will clean up our streets. Portland's even worse with Mayor Ted Wheeler. Eight people shot over the weekend. And our friend Victoria Taft, you can read her work at pjmedia.com. She was writing about that this weekend and joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Victoria, always a pleasure to have you on.
Great to be here. Thanks very much for having me, Dory.
Tell me about these shootings. When did it happen and what were the injuries?
Downtown in the area where people know well, the area of the riots, there were no riot-related activities going on. At the time of this shooting, early Sunday morning, it happened about 2 o'clock in the morning. But the Portland police has been very closed mouthed about this. They had revised down the number of people shot. Now we have seven in all shot. One died. A woman died at the hospital. And that's all we know. We don't know what the motive is. Portlanders are wandering around going, well, what am I supposed to beware of? My guess is, and this is just surmise, but my guess is it's gang related because gang violence has spiked in Portland ever since the cops were put on the shelf.
Yeah, in Seattle, the same thing. We had a 30-year high in murders last year. We're on a pace to exceed that this year, and the correlation is quite obvious. That we have defunded the police. We have demoralized our police. So a lot of people have done lateral transfers to get to a place where they are loved and not hated. And I know the same thing's happening in Portland. In fact, I was reading a few months ago, Victoria, about how Antifa's strategy was to this constancy every night of the rioting and screaming in cops' face and just hoping to break them as individuals and as a unit. All true?
Oh, I think so. And they've succeeded because they have massive retirements. And these are out-of-phase retirements. There are people leaving before retirement age, just getting the hell out. And as you mentioned, lateral moves, et cetera. But some people are just getting off the career path and going somewhere else and policing where that is. And yes, I believe that the strategy is to demoralize police, and to do that, they've succeeded in doing that. But furthermore, it's really kind of an interesting twist. As I point out in my story at PJ Media, there are some folks, especially the loudest, biggest mouth of all, who hate the cops, and that is not just BLM, but on the city council, Joanne Hardesty, or as I like to call her, Joanne Travesty, who is not in favor of giving cops the body cams. She doesn't want them to have them. And you know why? Because then you don't get the other side of the story, which is Antifa attacking the cops, because that's been happening for over a year. And so she doesn't want that. And the DOJ just came in. And I think they're still under a consent decree, and naturally, because they never fought it. And the city said, oh, sure, we'll do whatever you say, DOJ. And the DOJ says, you know, that would be really handy if you guys had body cams on your cops. And so they, you know, everybody is doing the big, well, duh. And of course, cops initially didn't want body cams ever, you know, any cop shop, anywhere. And what they found out is that the police officers are very well acquitted when the body cams are worn, because it shows that they're being reasonable. And so a lot of people, like BLM types like Joanne Hardesty, are opposed to them now as a result.
Well, and what we're seeing up here in our state is a legislature that just had a rabid anti-cop agenda. They passed a bill that's going to go into effect in a few days, and it is going to let criminals run free even if cops encounter them, unless the cop actually witnesses the crime. Reasonable suspicion is no longer going to be the standard, and they're going to be prohibited from chasing down somebody. And it's our state legislature, our leftist radical state legislature, that knows nothing about policing and police work. Mm-hmm. And they have passed a bill that is literally going to make it, by a magnitude of many times easier to be a criminal here in our state. And we're seeing this in, and what's just amazing to me, Victoria, is in your city of Portland, our city of Seattle, it is so obvious what's going on. And people, just for whatever reason, because they're afraid that somebody might not think that they're woke enough if they speak out against this. And the solution is so simple, and yet we keep going down the rat hole.
I know. You kind of wonder what planet these folks are on. And are they not seeing the increase in violent crime as a result of the hands-off police policies now? And the fact that they're letting people out of jail, they're not bypassing jail altogether. The homeless are not being scurried off when they're throwing rocks at cars. And so you have an increase in crime, and people just don't connect the dots there. And it's all quality of life. And pretty soon there's going to be another huge bunch of folks who are just sick and tired of it all. And they're going to make sure that the people who continue this stupidity are voted out of office. Even the left sees that. Not all the woke left, but even liberals see the wisdom of police.
Well, yeah, of course. And you used the phrase Ferguson effect in your most recent piece that you wrote, because we have seen this around the country, whether it's Ferguson, Missouri, where the police started depolicing because of, you know, witch hunt that was attempted there. And we're seeing it in Baltimore now. Baltimore is the murder capital of the country because the police are afraid to do their job. And so every time something's crafted to help criminals and hinder the police, the result is obvious and few seem to care.
That is a stunning thing about Baltimore. It's not surprising that they have a raft of violent crimes, but it's always been a violent city, at least in recent, since the Democrats started taking over Baltimore. Let's just be honest here. Since Nancy Pelosi's dad. And it really is. It's shameful. It is absolutely shameful. And they've got to hire better people. But people are afraid. I mean, there are people in Baltimore who carry guns. And I'm not talking about the bad guys. I'm talking about the good guys.
Sure.
People are arming themselves. You know, these people who say that, you know, for instance, in this particular Portland shooting, which is where we jumped off on this, I'm sure that there will be the usual voices of folks saying we have to get rid of guns. But the bad guys always have their ways of getting guns.
Sure.
And I imagine that that's exactly what's going to happen in Baltimore and other cities where we blame the tool and not the other tool, who's holding that tool. It's pretty ridiculous.
If we take away guns, only the good guys will lose their guns. That's for sure.
That's right.
Well,
exactly.
So seven shot, one dead in Portland this weekend. What a shame, mm-hmm. Victoria. Used to be such a beautiful city. My mother-in-law still lives right across the river in Vancouver. My kids, mm-hmm. when they go down to visit grandma, they liked going into Portland. Makes me scared to death to have them think about going into Portland these days.
When you drive into Portland, you'll notice, Dory, and your kids will notice, that there is more graffiti, tagging. The gang activity has stepped up. That tagging is the precursor to the violent behavior that we're seeing. Now, my guess is, and I have nothing on which to base this except surmise, is that this is a gang-related shooting that occurred overnight in Portland. The homicide rate is expected to, in fact, it is at this point in time, year over year, a 2,200% increase in Portland.
Man.
2,200.
Yeah. I mean, that is shy at first. And it's a big enough number that it's not like a statistically invalid. At this time last year, there were six homicide shootings, and this mm-hmm. year 38. That is crazy. Well, Victoria,
They're on pace to do worse too. Sorry to interrupt you.
No. We got cartels shipping drugs across our open southern border. Come up I-5, they get into Portland, Seattle, where politicians ensure that drug turf wars are going to kill a lot of young black people, and that's considered progressiveness. It's amazing.
Yeah, spot right. on. Well stated.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Victoria,
right.
It's always great talk with you, and I really appreciate your work.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Dory.
All right. Victoria Taft, you can read her work at pjmedia.com, and she is a must read. All right. I'd love to know what you think about all this. You can text us at 98973. That's 98973, and we have lots more to come here on The Dory Monson Show. As we told you at the top of the show, we got a bunch of other stuff to get to today, including why I got in so much trouble at the beginning of my fishing excursion on Friday. It was testy. It was nasty. It's nasty. I'm telling you. But I'll tell you about that coming up in the Fastest 15 here. So we told you that Jay Inslee has now ridiculously said that people who are unvaccinated are Trump voters and their bioreactor something or others. Oh, that's not it. JJ.
Yeah, I want to follow up on what Lacey said. I think it's a really important point. You know, I've talked to folks say, well, this is an individual right. If I want to run the risk of dying on an intubator after being sick for a month, I went to a funeral the other day of a state employee who was in hospital for a month in his early 40s. If you want to run that risk, and people are saying, hey, that's my decision, I can run the risk. The problem with that is you're making a risk for everybody around you when you don't get vaccinated. You're a risk for your spouse, you're a risk for your kids, your grandkids, your parents, your coworkers, because you are a bioreactor facility generating virus and spreading it around, including to kids who can't get vaccinated. I want to reiterate that. If you're a 50-year-old man who, you know, voted for Donald Trump and didn't think COVID was a problem and you don't get vaccinated now.
For the luck. What an absolute blatant lie that is. If you're a 50-year-old white man who voted for Donald Trump, you think that's the only ones who are unvaccinated, Governor? And what is this obsession all the time with pointing out white men? What if you're a 50-year-old black man who voted for Donald Trump? What if you're a 50-year-old Hispanic man? Why is it always the white man? But the fact of the matter is, the ones who are not getting the vaccine, a lot of them are Biden and Kamala Harris voters. You know why? Because during the campaign, as Donald Trump was working with pharmaceutical companies to get the vaccine out in record time, back then, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they were telling America, don't get this vaccine.
So let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay. And the question of whether it's real when it's there, that requires enormous transparency. You got to make all of it available to other experts across the nation so they can look and see. So there's consensus. This is a safe vaccine.
If the president announced tomorrow we have a vaccine, would you take it? Only if it was completely transparent that other experts in the country could look at it. Only if we knew all of what went into it.
If Donald Trump can't give answers and his administration can't give answers to these three questions, the American people should not have confidence.
But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
Well, Donald Trump's telling you not to take it. I mean, telling you that you should take it. So you see what a liar Jay Inslee is? When he says, if you're a 50-year-old white man who voted for Donald Trump, the people who cast the most doubt on the virus for months were Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And then they thought, well, we did what we need to say to get elected. So now we'll just tell everybody that everything we said back then was a total 100% lie. And then Jay Inslee is lying about being Trump voters. Obviously, the Biden voters heard this message pounded away week after week. If Donald Trump was in charge when the virus or the vaccine was created, you should not take it. And it just once again proves what stinking hypocritical liars we have running things. And this is all life and death, they tell us. So they don't mind playing games with people's lives. But the biggest deniers of the vaccine for months were Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And now you just heard proof of what I just said. As for Donald Trump, one of the other big things that he tried to accomplish was he wanted to get better water flow shower heads. And so he said, no more of this only 2.5 gallons per minute. I'm going to give you those Kramer black market shower heads so you can get more powerful showers. They just reversed that in the Biden administration. So we got to stick with these little weak, wimpy. And man, if you have hair like Trump, you need a better spray.
But how about the shower? You go into a shower, and I have this beautiful head of hair. I need a lot of water. And you go into the shower, right? You turn on the water. Drip. Drip. Drip.
Well, now we're back to drip. Drip, drip, drip. Because Joe Biden is back to the low-flow showers. That could only happen in Biden's America. My festive theme. It is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.